The God of our liberation has brought us here today. The God of our salvation has brought us here today. This God has unparalleled artistry in creation and nature. For he took a celestial paintbrush and painted a picture across the bending blue sky. He is a divine choreographer because he makes the moon and the stars to dance across the night sky with skilled precision. He is a guidance counselor and a psychotherapist because he tells us, casting all the care upon me, because I care for you. I tell you, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply staying within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea, he heard my despairing cry, and from the waters, can you say amen, that he lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. Good to have Mr. Hicks with us today. And I also want to announce Sister Scott is under the weather today. And let us be prayerful for her that she will soon recover. If you have your personal copy of the world's bestseller, I want to call your attention to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. And I want to look at verses 13 through 15. Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. If you have that, say amen. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you of all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that were against us, which were contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Using this text today, I want to talk from the subject, he proved he is a complete winner. He proved that he is a complete winner. Now, Jesus has, by his death and his burial and his resurrection, has won an ultimate victory. He is a global Lord. His victory has cosmic dimensions because Jesus has done something through death, burial, and resurrection that has eclipsed and overcome any victory on any level in the history of the world. Now, of course, he didn't always look like a winner. Amen. And I want to let y'all know that I had prepared this lesson before the game Saturday. Don't you think I just up and decided it? Amen. But I want to look at again the text in Colossians, because we have to understand this text in order to grasp what we're saying. Now, in this text, the Apostle Paul is speaking to a Gentile audience, the Colossians. He is not speaking to a Jewish audience. And so he tells them that you were defeated. And you were defeated. If you're living a life in sin and Christ is not your Lord and Savior, you are living in defeat. Amen. And he tells them that you being dead, spiritually dead, in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh. Now, of course, the Bible talks about the circumcision, the Jews, covenant people. And it also talks about uncircumcision Gentiles, which means the nation. People who are not in covenant with God are losing. People who are in covenant relationship with God are winning in the ultimate sense. And then he said, God has given you a victory, because even though you were dead, he hath quickened you, that he has made you alive. He made you alive together with him, that is with Jesus Christ, having forgiven you of all your trespasses. I want to tell you something. When all your sins are forgiven, that's a victory. Is that all right? That is a victory. That is a personal victory for you. Now, in the next verse, he says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances, which could also be said a code of bondage. Now, in this particular text, he is referencing the law of Moses. He said that this law was contrary to us, because even though it was a high and a holy law and a perfect law, nobody could live up to it. Nobody here can live a perfect life. You can't live a perfect moral and spiritual life. And if we had to earn our salvation, we couldn't earn it. Salvation is a gift from God. Is that all right? And if you're wise, you will accept the gracious Creator's ultimate gift to you, which is the gift of salvation. So he says that this code of the law of Moses was contrary to you. And so Jesus, look at the next verse. He said, he took it out of the way by nailing it to his cross. That is, he rubbed it out. He erased it. He wiped it off. And now, today, we do not have to obey the law of Moses. We don't have to keep the Sabbath day. Amen. And if somebody mess with that, I'll do some teaching on the Sabbath. Amen. But we don't have to keep the Sabbath day today, because we are under a better covenant. Is that all right? Now, in verse number 15, he said, having spoiled principalities and power. Now, that word spoil is a term that is used in reference to conquered enemies. When you spoil an enemy, you take their weapons and you exhibit them publicly. So Jesus, by his victory on the cross, even though it didn't look like a victory, was achieving a victory, and by it, he has proven he is the ultimate winner. And so who are the principalities and powers? In all likelihood, they are the Jewish authorities who arranged his death. And the devil was motivating them to kill Jesus. And yet, even though they thought they were winning by killing Jesus, Jesus himself was achieving an ultimate victory for you and I. Ain't that good news? Do you want to be a winner? Somebody said, if you want to be a winner, you got to drop that chicken dinner. Amen. Well, Jesus Christ is the ultimate winner. Now, I want you to see two ideas in this lesson today. Number one, I want you to see he proved that he is the Son of God and he is the ultimate winner, and that's relevant to you. And number two, I want to talk about learning to win in life from the greatest winner. Learning to win in life from the greatest winner is our second idea in this message today. Now, let's define some terms here. The word win means to have victory over an opponent or an enemy in competition or war. To triumph means to have success. It means to experience victory. Jesus Christ has won the greatest prize, and he has triumphed openly over his enemies. Now, in order to win in life on any level, there's a psychology that comes with winning. There's a psychology that comes with losing. In order to win, you got to have a certain mindset. In order to win, you've got to prepare to win. In order to win, you must expect to win. Is that all right? If you're going to win on any dimension of life, because keep in mind that in your life, there are forces seen and unseen trying to defeat you. Everybody who's patting you on your back and smiling in your face don't want to see you succeed. Is that all right? You better understand that. But I want to tell you today that you can have victory on all levels of your life. Amen. Even though it may not look like you're winning, it may look dark, but I want to tell you, you can win. There's a psychology in winning. You know, sometimes we say everybody loves a winner. Hello? But when you lose alone. There was a book entitled by Dale Carnegie, entitled, a very popular and practical book entitled, How to Win Friends and to Influence People. Pretty good book. Amen? And then, you know, lawyers want to win cases. Is that right? Debaters want to win debates. Politicians want to win elections. Football coaches want to win games. And when you win games, you get raises and contract extensions. When you lose games, hello lights, you get fired. Is that all right? So everybody loves a winner. Everybody wants to win on some level. We even talk about winning in religion. Now, of course, you can't win. You can't earn salvation, but you sure can lose it. Amen. Because salvation is a gift. But I want to tell you, sometimes things are not always as they seem. Sometimes it's dark just before the dawn. Is that all right? Sometimes when you're just about to give up, you're about to have your breakthrough and about to win. Is that correct? And I want to tell you that it did not always look like Jesus was the one. I understand today that streams of approbation and accolades have been lavished and given to Jesus Christ. Everybody now is praising Jesus Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. But it was not always that way, because it looked bad for Jesus. Sometimes it can look bad in your life, but it doesn't mean that you lose, and you got to walk by faith and not by sight. Is that all right? It didn't look good for Jesus because the enemies who were conspiring to kill him finally won their day. When Jesus came to Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, riding the ass coat, they laid down palm branches and they said, Hosanna to the one who comes in the name of the Lord. But by the week's end, those same folk were saying, crucify him. Crucify him. Crucify him. Crucify him. It's a strange thing. Folks will praise you on Monday and stab you in the back on Saturday. Is that all right? Because that's the way it is sometimes. But not only that, he didn't look like a winner. Even among his disciples, the ones he trained and led, when it came down, you see, when you really get in trouble, when things look really bad for you, you're going to find out who your real friends are. Is that all right? You're going to find out who really for you and who really against you. Is that all right? You mess around, your car ain't riding. And you will find out who's going to come pick you up when you ain't got no car. You're going to find out who for you when you're broke and you're disgusted and you're busted and you can't be trusted. Is that all right? You're going to find out who's for you. You're going to find out who's in your corner when things are not looking so bright. Well, in the case of Christ's disciples, Judas betrayed him. You ever been betrayed in your life? That's a hurting thing. Peter denied him, and all of the rest deserted him. Is that all right? And then the women who loved him, who followed him, when they saw he was going up a bloody path that was leading to Calvary, they couldn't help him. And all they could do was walk behind him, crying and pulling for him. Is that all right? I tell you, it looked bad when they put Jesus on that cross. It looked like Jesus had lost. Is that all right? And when they crucified him, it looked so bad. The sun pulled down her light at midday, and it got dark on the earth. Sometime in life, it gets dark. Is that all right? But I tell you, if you can just hold on, weeping may endure for a night, but joy, I said joy, Lord have mercy, joy, it comes in the morning. Is that all right? I tell you, it looked dark, and the disciples, they were on a respirator. They were in critical condition as it concerned their faith. But you know, even though it looked bad on Friday, I tell you, early, 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 early on Sunday morning, Jesus got up from the grave with the keys of death and hell swinging round his waist. And the disciples' faith that was on a respirator was given CPR. Is that all right? And they revived. And they became strong disciples for Jesus Christ. And I'm so glad this morning that there's not a man like Jesus. There have been great preachers. There have been great speakers. There have been great orators. But never spake man like this man. And when he spoke with flaming vitality in his oral delivery. For he stood one day at the feast and said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink, and out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Is that all right? I tell you, he died so that I could become the righteousness of God. He died so that my sins could be forgiven. He died so I could become a new creature in Jesus Christ. Is that all right? He died so I could be rich. He died so that one day when this life is over, I can go to a city that hath foundations, whose builder and his maker is God. I tell you, he won a prize for you. He won a prize for me. And he wants me to be a winner in the ultimate sense. You know, it's all right to win on the football field. Oh, that's a good feeling. But I tell you, it's better to win in faith. Is that all right? It's better to win as a child of the Most High God. Now, here's the final point in this lesson. Learning. This is the practical part of this lesson. I want to talk about winning in life. Amen. And in order to win in life, you got to know how to win. You got to learn how to win. You know, some teams in sports, They don't know how to win. They don't know how to close a game. They held a lead, and they keep sabotaging and shooting themselves in the foot until they lose the game. Is that all right? Earl, I was watching the Miami Heat. That's my Jerry team. And I'm going to tell you, I don't like them. I like the Lakers. I know that might make you a little ill, but anyway, the Spurs, the second group, Brandon, they had a lead. But you got to give LeBron credit. The boy is an outstanding ball player. You know, love him or hate him, the boy is good. And the Spurs found a way to lose the game. And sometime in life, people find a way to lose. You got to be taught how to win. Amen. That's why a lot of time when a lot of these athletes make millions of dollars, and in a little while, they're broke. A lot of time people win the lottery. We had a very interesting discussion on the lottery. And I know y'all didn't get no ticket, did you? You thought about it. But don't you be gambling. Amen. But that's another sermon. Amen. But you got to be taught how to win. And the greatest winner of all is Jesus. He will teach you how to win on two levels. Let's talk about these two levels. He will teach you how to win on the lower level. You got to learn these lessons. You got to learn these lessons. It's critical that you learn these lessons. I'm going to talk about in just a moment. You got to learn how to win. Because you don't want to be defeated in life, do you? Do you want to be defeated in life? You got to learn how to win. And in order to learn how to win, you've got to have a great teacher. Jesus has proven that he's the Son of God. He's proven he's the ultimate winner. And he's willing to share his victory with us. Let's think about winning, first of all, on the lower level. We've got to learn in life to win over frustration. Hello? Because in some people's lives, frustration is defeating them. And in order to learn how to win over frustration, first of all, you've got to understand that you're going to have problems and trouble in your life. That's going to happen. But you got to understand the purpose of trouble and trials. Because trouble and trials have a purpose in developing your character. This world is a temporary abode for soul making and destiny shaping. I think I said something right there. This world is a temporary because we ain't gonna stay here forever. Hello? Brother Brandon talked about this morning, people who have passed away. And guess what? One day all of us are going to pass away. Amen? Oh yeah, you're going to die. As sure as you're born, the only way you don't die is Jesus comes back and ends this world order. Amen? And so James says in James chapter 1 verses 2 to 4, count it all joy, my brothers, when you fall into divers trials and temptation, knowing that the testing of your faith worketh patience. You gotta have patience, or you're gonna find yourself really frustrated. Hello? I remember some time ago, I just didn't have no patience. Man, I was in such a hurry, I didn't even want to stop at the railroad track. The gate come down, I go around the gate. One day, I was coming from a meeting. Gate went down, train blowing. I went round the gate. The police came right round the gate behind me. He sure did. And from that day, he broke me up, but I learned my lesson. I ain't went round the gate since. It was a gate one day, the thing was just broke. I still was scared to go around that end. Because I learned, man, you don't go around gate. You get $100 tickets, Eddie, for going around gates. Here's the second thing you got to learn how to win over, and that is fear. You got to learn how to win over fear. And let me tell you something. If you got a lot of fear in your life, you're having a problem with your faith. You're having a problem with faith. If your life is fear-filled, you are having a problem with faith. One day a storm swept down upon the blue bosom of the Galilee Sea. And the wind was howling, the water was boisterous. And it appeared as if the wind and the water would drown the disciples. And they cried out, "Master, do you care if we perish?" And Jesus stood up and said, "Hush! Hush!" There was a tranquility and a serenity around the sea. And then Jesus said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Where is your faith?" Faith will help me to win the battle over fear. And then, how many today, y'all passing your seatbelts, having money problems? Anybody got money issues? Do you have more money than you have money? How do you win over poverty? How do you win over being broke? You know, Marvin Gaye said, "Money, we make it. Before we see it, they take it. Make me want to holler, throw up both my hands." You ever feel like that? Is that all right? Well, how do you deal with finance? Because finance is a part of life. Romance and finance. Hello, lights. Is that all right? Well, how do you deal, and everybody got to learn this lesson. How do you deal with issues of finance? Here's how you do it. Number one, you've got to ask God to give you wisdom to make sound financial decisions. And let me say this. It is a mistake if you earn any money and don't save a portion of it. That's a mistake to spend every dime you have. You got to save some money. Hello? Is that right? You don't need every time you need some, got to go ask somebody to give you some money. You need some of your own money. Is that correct? So you've got to ask God to give you wisdom about your finances. He's the best teacher of all. Number two, you've got to ask God to give you a blessing of prosperity. You got to pray about that. I appreciate Brother Sperling's prayer. He prayed a beautiful prayer. And Brother Sperling prayed in that prayer, "Lord, give us more prosperity." And I said, "Amen." Thank you, brother. Keep praying that prayer. Is that all right? And then number three, you must, listen to this, very important. You must become a good steward of what you already have. You got to be a good steward of what God has already given you. Amen. So you've got to, I need victory in finances. I need victory over frustration. Because sometimes things don't always go the way I want it to go. I need victory when I'm afraid. Is that all right? And then I need victory over sickness. Hello? And the way I can have victory over sickness is that because sometimes we're making ourselves physically sick. Hello? Now I'm going to say this. Somebody's going to get mad with me, but I'm going to say it. Because folks get mad with me all the time. Yeah, but you know. But somebody said, if you smoke cigarettes, you got two things going on. You got fire on one end and a fool on the other end. Come on. I don't need y'all looking at me. Come on now. So if I want victory over sickness, I need to get wise about diet. You just can't put everything into your temple. I don't care how good it tastes. I'm talking to you too, Moss. Because your body is a temple. And so I need to get some wisdom about diet and exercise. That's the best medicine you can have. Don't you think every solution to your problem is some pill prescribed by the doctor? Some medicine is medicine prescribed by the Lord. Is that right? Let me move on. We need victory over loneliness. And the way you have victory over loneliness is to build some quality relationships and show yourself friendly. Now, you ain't gonna have no friends if you don't know how to treat them. Hello, lights. Is that all right? You cussing folks out every time you get mad and you wondering why they ain't around you. You talk about them like a dog. You don't care how you talk to them. And you think everybody going to like you. And when you get sick and nobody comes see about you, you wonder why. It's because of the way you've been treating folks. They tell you make it on. Now, it shouldn't be that way, but it is. They tell you make it on your own. Hello, lights. Preach, Moss. The Bible say he who would have friends must show himself friendly. But let's take it to a higher level. I need victory on these areas because, but also I need victory on a spiritual level. This is most important. I need victory, number one, over the world. I need victory over the world. The world is the ungodly multitude that is opposed to God and hostile to Christ. The Bible says, love not the world. You need victory over the world. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world. I need victory over the world because if I don't, I'm going to be defeated. Number two, I need victory over the flesh. Get from my brother Hillary. Romans 8, 6, and 7. Romans 8, 6, and 7. And by the way, why he getting that, if you wanna be happy, if you want to have a good life, you got to have some joy in your life. Is that all right? And Proverbs 17, 22 said that a merry heart doeth good like medicine. So you ought to make it a habit of being happy. Every day you ought to say, I'm going to be happy about something today. You ought to say, I'm going to be thankful about something today. You know, because I'm blessed and I'm highly favored. Is that all right? And in every day and every way, I'm getting better and better. I am blessed. I'm being blessed and I shall be blessed. And that's the story of my life. You have it, Brother Hiller? Hold it and say quickly.
For to be carnally minded,
to be carnally minded
is death.
But to be spiritually minded
is life and peace.
To be carnally minded, there are some people today, I'm going to tell it like it is, some people today, they're just sitting at home, could be in church. You are being defeated. You think you're doing something big but not serving God? You the loser. You going to lose. You can't defeat God. You got to win over the world, over the flesh. What else, Brother Hiddle? Read it.
Because the carnal mind is,
enmity against as hostile to God. Some folks don't want to hear the word of God.
For it is not subject to the law
It's not subject to the law of God.
Neither indeed can be.
Thank you, Brother Hillary. And then I need victory over the devil. Anybody know how to handle the devil? You don't hear handle you. Is that all right? Did the devil talk to you this week? The devil hollered at you this week? Did he text you? Did he beep you? Did he email you? Did he call you on the telephone? Did he hit you on your cellular phone? Is that all right? Because the devil is busy. Is that all right? First of all, in order to have victory over the devil, you got to tell the devil to get behind me, Satan, and mean it. Hello? So get behind me, Satan, and mean it. And then to handle the devil, you got to put on the whole armor of God that you can stand against the tricks of the devil. To handle the devil, you've got to not give place and opportunity to the devil. Amen. I mean, if you know something ain't right and you just being pulled that way, that's the devil is leading you. Hello. And lead me too if I do it. Amen. And then you have to be vigilant and sober about your life if you want victory. Man, you got to get serious about holy and righteous living. Or you going to be defeated. And then you need victory. This is a big one. Over death. Even though you might be in the casket, you can have victory over death. Amen. Yesterday, I attended a funeral of a 41-year-old young man. Sad occasion. He's gone now. But he was in Christ. And one day, either death, when you die, your physical death, either you're going to have victory over physical death or physical death going to have victory over you. Now, it ain't but one way death can defeat you. And that is, you are not in Christ. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:57, O grave, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? And then it says that the victory, the sting of death is the law. That is, if I have to depend on salvation by living a perfect life, I have no hope. You have no hope. But I'm saved by the amazing grace of God. So if one day you're going to die, if you don't die in Christ, you're going to be defeated. If you die in Christ, you will win. And finally this morning, you need victory over sin. You can't keep living in sin. You got to learn how to get forgiveness. Amen. You got to ask God to forgive you of your sin. You can't keep living in sin and think you're going to, it's going to be, you can't ignore your sin. I mean, that's like ignoring cancer. Doctor told a young man, you have prostate cancer. He said, okay. And went home and just kept living like the doctor hadn't said nothing. But guess what was happening inside of his body? The cancer said, all right, well, since you ignore me, I'll just go away. Is that what cancer does? What does cancer do? If you don't kill cancer, what does cancer do? It kills you. What about sin? It's like cancer. Sin is like rattlesnake venom posing as honey. Sin is like a vulture dressed up in peacock feathers. Is that all right? Sin is the most deceitful and destructive thing in the world. And the only way we can have victory over sin is through Jesus. If you don't have a connection with Jesus Christ, you're going to be defeated. Matter of fact, you're already defeated. You're lost. And the only thing that's keeping you from hell is God's mercy. In conclusion today, five things you got to do to win. Who want to win? Five steps you got to take to win if you want to be a child of God. You got to hear the gospel. Romans 10:17, how Christ died for you, was buried, rose again the third day. You got to believe that. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, Brother West, he gave his only begotten son. Isn't that wonderful? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have the everlasting life. You got to repent of your sins. Amen. Acts 17:30, the time of this ignorance God winked at, but now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. You must confess Christ as Lord and Savior. Romans 10:9-10, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you want to win, you got to hear the gospel. You got to believe it. You must repent of your sins. You must confess the sweetest name to ever roll from mortal tongue. And yes, you must go down in the water, the watery grave of baptism, and you rise up a winner, and you walk in newness of life. I ain't gonna turn my back on Jesus. Is that all right? You ought to say, I'm going on with Jesus just the same. And if you are a child of God, living beneath your privilege, living in sin, you are being defeated. And the only way you can win as a child of God, you can't ignore your sin. It ain't going away. You got to confess it. You got to repent. You've got to confess. And you got to pray. And when you do that, I mean, this is serious business. We're talking about winning in people's lives. Helping people to win in the game of life. I need victory in my life. Here's somebody said, well, I need some victory. Well, you got to get up and help yourself. You say you need victory, but I don't see you doing nothing trying to help yourself. How you going to have victory if you don't do nothing to help yourself? The Lord has come down from heaven, died on the old rugged cross, got up. He's in heaven right now at the right hand of God. And he's calling you, come on, come on. He's pleading with you. And you say, I want to win, I want to win. And you won't even come. You won't even confess your sin. You continue in sin, expect you're going to win. If you got a job, you don't show up for it. You don't come like you should, you're going to lose it. Is that right? Why some people think they can come to church when they get ready? Preach, Moss, and still think they're going to win. Just ain't so. But I'm going to my seat now. But I'm glad this morning. Jesus Christ has proven, Sister Samaymay, to be the greatest winner. I hear John saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Then he drops down to verse 14 in that same context. He said, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Is that all right? He came down through 42 generations to help me to be a winner. Is that all right? He put on human flesh to help me to be a winner. Is that all right? Jesus Christ is a 200% man. Is that all right? He's 100% God. And he's 100% man. Is that all right? As God, he is God's way to man. As man, he is man's way to God. Is that all right? I tell you, he's 200%. Is that all right? As a man, he was invited to a wedding feast in Cana of Galilee. But as God, he turned water into wine. Is that all right? As a man, he got on a boat one day and went to sleep. But as God, he got up and said, peace be still. Is that all right? As a man, he sat out on Jacob's well and said, I'm weary. Is that all right? But as God, he was a well, sitting on a well. Is that all right? As a man, he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Is that all right? But as God, he said, I am the bread of life. Is that all right? As a man, he wept at the tomb of Lazarus. But as God, he was the resurrection and the life. Is that all right? As a man, he was judged by sinful man. Is that all right? But as God, he's going to judge the quick and the dead. Is that all right? As a man, he died for my sins. Is that all right? But as God, he got up early on Sunday morning for my salvation. Is that all right? I tell you, he's 200%. Is that all right? He's God and he's man. And he is. I said he is the ultimate winner. Oh, anybody want to win this morning? Would you stand, please? If anybody want to win this morning, then you ought to come to Jesus. You ought not to delay. If there's sin unconfessed in your life, you ought to confess it. And I appreciate Brother Ben's prayer. He said, forgive us of our sins. Amen. Nothing wrong with saying that, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Because, Lord, I want to be with you one day. Lord, I want to win. Lord, I want to be a New Testament Christian. I know, Lord, there's a lot of churches and religions in this world, but Lord, I want to follow your true way. I want to be a member of the church I can read about in the Bible. It's your way, Lord, or no way. Lord, it's your way or the highway. And thank you, Lord, for helping me to be a winner. Thank you, Lord, for being my winner. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Why don't you hear my humble cry? You know I honor this thou. Oh, do not pass me by. I'm calling you, Savior. Oh, Savior. Why don't you hear my cry? You know that why honor this thou, accord. Oh, do pass ye by.